Any other Tar Heels here? Any? All right. Oh, yeah, I know some of you, so that's good. Thank you for having me. As mentioned, I'll be talking about healthy food access and our work with local planners to incorporate that into a pedestrian planning effort. So to start, no relationships to disclose. Can you all hear me fine? All right. I'll be talking about two main things today. First, our conducting of a healthy food assessment of food stores in the county, and also our work to incorporate health into local planning efforts. But really the key takeaway here is the importance of reaching out to local partners and in order to address community health issues. So for those of you not from North Carolina, this is where Chatham County is located, where the yellow star is. That's right in the heart of North Carolina, just south of Chapel Hill and west of Raleigh. But where we are related to health, obesity is our top concern in the county. We conduct a community health assessment every 4 years. We just are in the midst of that right now. And for the last three cycles, obesity has been one of the top health issues in the county. It's probably no surprise. It looks like that a lot of other places as well. There are many reasons for this. Some of the local reasons being that Chatham County is a historically rural county, though it's urbanizing with some sprawl from Chapel Hill and Raleigh. So many of the residents live in small towns or rural areas, lack access to recreation facilities like sidewalks, parks, and may also lack options and availability of healthy food stores. But as you all know, obesity isn't unique to Chatham County. About a quarter of county adults are obese. That's better than the state average, but it's still a quarter of people. So it's still a major problem and still our top health issue in Chatham. And what I think this means for us and for folks across the country is that we're going to really need innovation and diverse strategies and partnerships to tackle such a complex issue. So we need to kind of put everything on the table and see what we can come up with. And one of those ways is talked about a lot at APHA is the environment and the impact that has on health. Of course, our health is determined by internal and external factors, but the individual choices that we make are influenced by the environment in which we live. So you can really build health into or out of the community. And this is really where I see the link between planning and public health. This is why we need to come together and why we need to acknowledge the important role planners play in public health issues. So this isn't a new thing. Planners and public health professionals work together. Planning originated to deal with public health issues, as many of you are aware, things like rapid urban growth, spread of communicable diseases. These were all issues that planners dealt with early on, but we've diverged a little bit so that planners have focused more on land use and transportation. However, we're coming back together, which is an exciting thing. It's a theme of this conference. It's a theme next year. So it's really exciting to see this work and gaining traction in the health promotion world. The American Planning Association goes along with this on their website. Points to the local governments that are incorporating public health into comprehensive plans, including things like access to healthy foods, which I'll talk about, and opportunities to be physically active. This links with health behavior theory, like the social ecological framework here. You see at the top levels that have the broadest impact on health, the public policy and community levels, so many things tied to the work of planners from local, state laws and regulations to zoning, to built environment, healthy food access, safety. These are all work that planners do on a daily basis and very important to some of the higher level health interventions that we are looking to embark on. So really what we're trying to do is take a community that may have limited access to places to be active, unhealthy food options, poor access to health care, and transform it into a place that encourages health to build it back into society. And that's what we're looking to do in Chatham County, and really that's what we see as a necessary to have any chance to fight the rising obesity rates in particular. So North Carolina was awarded the Community Transformation Grant, which is unfortunately ending a little bit prematurely, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the successes across the state and locally. For those of you who don't know, CTG was focused on community design and policy level interventions on health. In North Carolina, it funded over 50 comprehensive and allied plans across the state that incorporated health. This is really a new thing that wasn't going on previously, so it's created a kind of a culture shift in terms of planning and public health. And it also CTG also enabled other things like food policy councils, which we have in North Carolina as well, local tobacco policies, and the promotion of healthy local foods through things like farmers markets. And it was the funder of this project. So as I mentioned, there are two components. The first was to lead an assessment of all the food stores in the county to determine the availability of healthy food options. And the second was to combine that with the town of Siler City, which is a town in Chatham County, with their pedestrian master plan. So just to go quickly over the healthy foods assessment, I'm sure there are people who have conducted them, and it's something that we frequently do in public health. We were able to recruit a couple of students, and they sought out a couple of survey instruments and adapted those to meet the needs of our assessment. Those would be the FROST and the NEMS. And they located all of the food stores in the county. They did this through online searches and Google Maps and driving around and talking with local residents. In total, they surveyed 82 stores. Half of those would be gas stations, but also a number of supermarkets, roadside stands, tiendas, farmers markets as well. We're also looking at ways to create simple and objective metrics to categorize these stores. So this was one of the major decisions we had to make, and we decided to base it on two components, the first being availability of fresh fruits and vegetables. So we categorized that in three ways, whether a store had no fresh fruits and vegetables, 1 to 4 different options, and 5 or more. This was loosely based off the USDA recommendation for 5 or more fruits and vegetables a day. And then the second component was based off MyPlate, another national standard. And so this basically had two components, whether you could make a MyPlate from the ingredients at the store or whether you could not. So put those together, and there are 6 possible combinations from the lowest red dot level, which is you can't make a MyPlate and no fresh fruits and vegetables, to you could make a MyPlate and 5 or more fresh fruits and vegetable types. And that's the green plate with a fork and knife that you'll see on some future slides. Like here, so this is tough to see, but we'll zoom in. This is Chatham County here, and you see clusters of food stores on the west side there, which is Siler City, and directly east of that, which is Pittsburgh. So those stores have the highest concentration of food stores, as you would expect, and also the highest concentration of healthy food stores. As you go into some of these rural areas, you see limited availability of fresh fruits and vegetables in particular, and healthy food options. So there's a lot of interest from our local partners in terms of this research, just knowing where the food stores are. We also put demographic information, and these maps are online on chathamnc.org/maps. So really, we just wanted to share it with our residents and community partners, and have gotten a positive response from that as well. So a little bit about Siler City. Siler City, as I mentioned, is in the western side of the county. The county as a whole is doing relatively well economically, but Siler City is not. The median household income in Siler City is over $20,000 lower than the county as a whole, so there's a big disparity here. And a lot of the work that we do targets Siler City because of this. Also, about half of the population is Hispanic, and that has seen a lot of growth over the past decade. So there's a lot of potential for collaboration and for our work with them. So when we were embarking on this healthy food assessment, we also were at a meeting with the town of Siler City staff where we became aware that they were working on a pedestrian master plan. And so we approached them, and there was a lot of interest in ways that we could collaborate and maybe leverage some CTG funds to incorporate health into this plan. We looked at other towns and cities across the country, but there wasn't much out there. There weren't many examples of of this kind of incorporation into this type of plan. But what we had was a healthy food store inventory. So a pedestrian plan in North Carolina is required for DOT funding, Department of Transportation funding projects. They kind of fit it into a standard model, and it's, you know, if you go to a town in whatever town in North Carolina, it's going to look pretty similar. So what we were able to do was add a new component with this healthy food store inventory to really strengthen the plan and incorporate health in new ways. And so it's not just a plan that looks at safe places to walk and be active. It's where they're going and do they have access to healthy foods and can they walk to those places. So when you look at half the town being Hispanic and some of those having limited access to driver's licenses, this becomes important to increase the walkability to those stores that would have healthy options. And the town really appreciated this. The town planner told us afterwards, you know, we were just going to do the standard plan. We were fine with that, but this really made it something new and something exciting to us. And, you know, now people can look at Siler City and say, hey, they're doing something different. So that was exciting for us to hear as well, that they really understood the importance of the work. So here you see Siler City from the project the students did in terms of mapping the stores. Again, the green circles with the fork and the knife being the highest level of the highest tier healthy option stores. There are, I believe, 8 of them in Siler City. Here you see this is from the pedestrian master plan. There are now black circles with forks and knives. What you see there is connectivity from neighborhoods in Siler City to those stores and proposed greenway and sidewalk projects. And you can see how those could connect in terms of distance and these new projects, how they would connect to those stores. So it was really a cool thing to envision. I'm not a mapper, so every time I see a map, I'm always blown away. So this one, you know, it took me a while to grasp, but there it is. So again, this is a, you know, two projects we were working on side by side, but, you know, wouldn't have come together unless we knew that, you know, what each other were doing and were able to think in this way of the collaboration. And so this is really just it's not life changing or anything, but it's just it's a component of their plan. So on the right, there's a list of prioritization criteria, the different factors that they use to prioritize pedestrian infrastructure projects, which is the outcome of the plan. And there you see direct access to healthy food options being in the middle of the pack there. So it's another thing to consider in that planning, and it got the committee thinking in a new way. So that was exciting for us to see. There's also a healthy living supplement in that plan. That's one of the outcomes of this work. They also considered access connections to recreation areas like parks. So similar to the healthy foods or to the food stores, they're considering park access here. So ways to be active, another component of that healthy living supplement. So there were a lot of benefits of us working together on this plan. First, it brought us together and helped us address the issues that we face in new ways. It added value to the projects that we were already doing. So they were already doing a pedestrian plan. We were already doing a healthy food assessment. We would have both gotten use out of those projects, but when you're able to put them together, you're not really spending a ton more time, but you're able to add value and create synergy in the projects. Again, our top issue being obesity, we really have to look at every way possible, especially collaborations in terms of ways to address it. So this was one way to do that. And we have a strengthened relationship with the town and the county. A lot of us help on the health promotion side were new, and some of the town staff was new, and we hadn't worked together before. So this was really the start of this collaboration that continues. And so the great thing about Siler City is they're not just letting this plan gain dust on the shelf. We've already started working on some of the projects that were prioritized, like the like ADA curb ramps in downtown Siler City, which was one of the priorities in the plan. We were able to utilize some Healthy Communities funds for that. We've also worked with them on a Safe Routes to School project at a school in Siler City and utilized some community transformation grant funding for the planning of that. We're starting up an initiative with Siler City Tiendas to market the healthy food options in the stores, and then some other projects at the local and regional level. We're also looking to partner on more comprehensive plans and allied plans. For example, a Parks Master Plan with Siler City is on our radar. Another comprehensive plan in a local town in the county, and a countywide comprehensive plan are all things that we envision doing in the next few years. And now, thinking of our strategic plan out of our community health assessment, these planning initiatives are part of that strategic plan, which is the first time for our county. So it's really exciting to see us thinking on a larger scale in terms of how we're going to address our priority health issues. We also have health department staff representation on local planning advisory committees. We're just now starting up a food policy council, so it was exciting to hear about the work that's going on in California, and we love using the resources that are out there for that. And I think that's really going to put us in a good position to really tackle some of these food-related issues locally. We understand what each other, what the planners and what the public health practitioners do better, and we know where we can work together. If you're looking to work with planners on something like a comprehensive plan, it's important to start out, reach out to them and get to know them and understand what projects they're doing. For a while, we were trying to figure out what people were doing, and now they're starting to come to us and saying, we're looking at doing this. Can you be involved? And so that's really been a great shift. I talked about here, of course, healthy food considerations and access to recreation facilities. We would have liked to consider chronic disease rates, which are available through death records, and look at areas of town or county or whatever that have higher burdens of chronic disease and maybe prioritize those areas. Look at the health priority issues and link that work to those issues. And there are resources from the NCDHHS. Here, there are a few copies. American Planning Association has some on their website, as well as the CDC. So I really think planners are public health practitioners. They're doing it at a high level. I think now they're starting to realize it, but we're starting to realize it as well. And we really need to engage them in this work. And I think that the innovation in both fields, especially public health, is going to depend on partnerships like this, ways that we can take what we're already doing and combine it with things that other people are already doing, you know, two old conventional things, and combine them together and create innovation through combining those efforts. And I think this quote just sums it up, just ways that combining two conventional ideas in their own domains and how that combining those two ideas can create something new and something different. So that's to a small extent what we did here. And thank you to these folks, including the town of Siler City, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Right, that's a good point. You can either build that pedestrian infrastructure, or you can build the, you know, the options within the store itself. We have been talking with that about that specifically with our more of the Healthy Corner Stores initiative. As looking at the gas stations and stuff like that, they're rarely, if ever, going to be that top tier, you know, healthy food store. We're just limited in time, so we started with the tiendas because we thought it would go after a community that would it was more in need, and also we thought we'd kind of go with the low-hanging fruit of starting with marketing before going in and trying to add new options. But that was definitely something we, you know, over the long term would like to go after. I think that's a great question. In Chatham County, we started a community garden in Pittsboro, right outside of the health department. That's staffed by county employees. We volunteer, and then we share some of that produce with the local food pantry. On a broader scale, that would go at more of what you're getting at. I think that there's a lot of potential, and I'd welcome the research on that. I think the limit would be time in terms of our efforts, but we would, if we had time, we would love to embark on that. Yeah.